It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, China's version of Twitter, called Weibo, will start trading on the stock market. The company hopes to raise about $400 million as a NASDAQ stock, but there are some concerns about growth and censorship, Jim Burris reports.
Weibo claims 130 million active users. Lixin Wang is one, but he's not really active.
I used it sometime last year when my friends were using it.
The Georgia State University finance professor has since switched to WeChat. It's growing at three times the rate of Weibo. That's one reason Wang is skeptical about today's NASDAQ debut. Another?
控制.
The Chinese equivalent to the word censorship. China's government bans everything from sexual innuendo to political dissent on the internet. Jason Eng wrote the book Blocked on Weibo. He says the site's not as much fun as when it debuted.
Censorship has already caused a chilling effect.
Even so, he says it's still the go-to place for China's nationwide conversation.
Obviously, investors recognize the value of having that sort of space.
Analysts just can't wrap their yen around how much that space is worth, and that's what makes today's IPO so salacious. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
News this week that Google's customizable modular phone Project Aura might be hitting shelves early next year. Users could choose more battery life over more memory storage, for instance. Project heads say the device will cost around $50. And you'll remember all those tools we were using last week to check if websites were affected by the Heartbleed security bug. Well, now London security firm Hut 3 says 95% of the most popular tools for checking aren't reliable. Also, a 19-year-old Canadian was the first to be arrested this week in relation to the Heartbleed bug. So keep updating those passwords. The tech industry's diversity problem is well documented at this point. A lot of men, a lot of them are white. But here's an interesting layer to that problem. Lots of tech companies start out as an entrepreneur's big idea. And typically somewhere in between being small time and going big, that idea needs the help of venture capitalists, investors willing to put a few bucks on the line in hopes of cashing in. A new study says VCs are more likely to back companies if the founders are the same ethnicity as the investors. Marketplace's Mark Garrison takes a look.
I'm paying you $200,000 for 5%, yet you're giving this man twice that in exchange for a futon?
That's a venture capitalist investing in a startup on the HBO show Silicon Valley. Everybody around the table is white. The real Silicon Valley is also heavy on white guys. Minority company founders often go unrecognized or worse.
It's like, what are you doing here? Or go get me something to drink because I think I'm working here or something.
Wayne Sutton has started companies and mentored entrepreneurs. As an African-American in tech, he's not surprised by the study's findings of a tendency for investors to go with people who look like them.
It's hard enough just to try to launch a product that the world can use. But overcoming those biases as a minority entrepreneur is even double hard.
Many American venture capitalists are white, so black entrepreneurs confront the problems the study uncovered daily. Melissa Bradley felt it firsthand when she pitched her business ideas.
There was no one in the room that looked like me. There were no women, and there were certainly no people of color in the room, oftentimes in the building.
That sometimes frustrating experience inspired her to start her own venture capital firm. She says she's raised tens of millions for minority and female-owned businesses and profited. Bradley sees the larger problem as one of investors afraid to step beyond what they know.
A venture capitalist provides money, but also provides a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And so they're there with you day in and day out. And so there is this implicit nature around, if I have something in common with you already at the onset, that we're probably going to do pretty well down the road.
Both Bradley and Sutton believe in the power of a great idea to break through, no matter who pitches it. Deepak Hegde, the NYU business professor who co-authored the study, agrees. He adds the findings may point to changes VCs could make.
Startups tend to come from multiple communities. A venture capitalist that has a diversity of partners on its ranks might be in a better position to identify these opportunities and evaluate them better.
Because the last thing they want is a billion-dollar opportunity missed, lost in a blind spot. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Before we go, a new study out from Pew today details our views about the future of science and technology. And while the findings are interesting, one only needs to have watched a few movies to understand where they come from. Here's a classic.
Skynet has become self-aware. In 1 hour, it will initiate a massive nuclear attack on its enemy.
What enemy? Us! Humans!
That's Terminator. Getting the picture here, if we weren't predisposed to distrust super powerful technology, then Hollywood has sure turned up the fear factor. Aaron Smith is senior researcher at Pew. He says the study found nearly 66% of respondents displayed some trust issues with certain kinds of tech.
Like drones, like, designer babies, robots becoming caregivers to the elderly. A lot of these things have the potential to, really change the way that we interact with each other and with the world around us. And that kind of makes people a little bit nervous.
Also, a majority of the 1,001 people interviewed said that implanting tech in the body would be a bad thing, but it's not all anti-technology. Smith says when asked about a piece of tech that they wanted in the future, people had lots of responses.
Flying cars, personal spacecrafts, jetpacks, teleportation. People really wanted the ability to sort of explore their own world in a really unique and interesting way.
Hey, no argument here. Put me down for one jetpack and one teleportation device. But maybe ixnay on the flying cars. Cars are dangerous enough on the road. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.